I mean, I want to share a portion of scripture in John chapter 14, where Jesus speaks to his disciples from verse 1, and it starts off very powerfully with the following sentence. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And he was speaking in the context of Jesus declaring to them that he is about to die and leave them. And in this midst of breaking the news to them that his death is imminent, he spoke these words and he said to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And I think for us that is so powerful about this that I want to share this morning, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And the reason why I'll explain, but before I do, let us just continue to see what God is saying as he was speaking to his disciples. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." And then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And then Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" I want to stop there this morning. It is so powerful that Jesus is speaking these words in the context of breaking the news to them that he was about to die. Preparing his disciples for his death. And then he spoke these words. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is Jesus speaking to the men that has followed him, the men that has placed their faith, their trust, their hope in him, the men that believe that he is the Messiah, the sent one of God that is going to reign forever. And yet God speaks to them, preparing them for his death, which they did not understand. And he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, there are many things in this life that makes our hearts to be troubled. Death being one of the greatest, but certainly not the only thing. There are many things in this life that we face that makes our hearts be troubled. Whether it's the family, whether it's relationships, whether it's our work, whether it's our health. There are so many things from time to time in this life that we face that brings uncertainty, unsettlement, fear and worry in our hearts. When we face the trials, the tribulations and the circumstances in us, we all know that so well that from time to time we face these circumstances within our family, within our relationships, within our work, within our health, in our bodies. We face circumstances that press against us, and before we know it, within our hearts rises up this unsettlement. This uncertainty, this insecurity, this fear, this trouble. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and I believe that Jesus is also speaking to us today, his 21st century disciples, when he speaks these words and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And Jesus is speaking to us because he knows from time to time in this life, this fear, this uncertainty, this insecurity, this worry, this trouble that fills our hearts. And Jesus speaks and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he continues to give us the antidote to this fear, this worry, this insecurity that rises up within us. He gives us the antidote. why we should not be troubled. And it's about this that I want to share this morning. God's answer to that, what makes our heart to be troubled, is threefold. The antidote is very powerful. Jesus speaks to his disciples in this time when their hearts were troubled. He was preparing and encouraging them. These are the keys to overcome the uncertainty, the worry, the trouble that rises within us from time to time. Three things. Firstly, Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." God is speaking about faith. He says, when your heart is troubled, when uncertainty, insecurity, fear and worry rises up within you, believe in God and believe also in me. God is speaking about faith. He says, you must have faith in me. You must trust me. I am the one who saves you. I'm the one who delivers you. Have faith in God. Have faith in me. You know, faith is the first antidote to fear, uncertainty, insecurity, and worry. Faith connects us to the Son, who is connected to the Father. Faith is the thing that connects us to the Son, that is connected to the Father, so that the life that is in the Father and in the Son can continually flow through us. Because there's life in the Son, there's life in God. And the thing that connects us to the life that God has is faith. And that's why Jesus says, have faith in me, trust in me, because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, and in Him and me is life. And that life continues forever. And through faith, you connect with us so that the life that is in us can continue to flow through you. In John 5, verse 26, we see, for as the Father has life in Himself, He has also granted to have this life in Himself. In 1 John 5, verse 11 to 13, we read, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It is so powerful. What God is saying is that faith connects us to the Son, and the Son connects us to the Father, and within them there is life. And through faith we are connected to the life that is within Him. And He speaks here about two things. In essence, one, but we understand it as two, the concept of life and the concept of eternal life. It's not two different things. It is God's life. God's life is eternal life. God's life is eternal life. And eternal life does not just speak about the duration of life. It speaks about the quality of life. That is what eternal life is. It's not just the duration of life that continues forever. It speaks about a quality of life that continues forever. Life free from fear. A life free from fear. Because if we're honest with ourselves, when that trouble rises within our hearts, that insecurity, that uncertainty, that worry, it is based on fear. And yet the life that God promises us is free of fear. But the thing that connects us to this life is called faith. There is a life eternal without fear. Without insecurity, uncertainty, worry or trouble. There is a life that is found in God and God alone. And how to connect with that is through faith in His Son. That is how we connect with it. So the first antidote is faith. It doesn't matter what you fear. The life that God has is free from fear. It's a life of confident peace. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, that we know so well, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Isn't that what we fear? That it will be stolen from us, taken from us, and destroyed. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, and that you have it more abundantly. And that life is found in Christ. That life is found in Christ. And many of us know that. We have tasted that. We have lived it. But from time to time, fear, uncertainty, insecurity, worry and trouble creeps up in our hearts. And God speaks to us this morning again and reminds us who is the source of life and where to find it. It's not in this world, it's not in the circumstances, it's not in wealth and security. It is only found in Him. That is through faith. In 1 John 1, verse 1 to 5, Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now listen to this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. The life of God is like light shining in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. As I've been preparing, I just sense God is saying there are some people that are here today that are facing darkness. You are facing darkness in your heart. You are facing darkness in your mind. You are facing darkness in your soul as circumstances, as your emotions are quickened by what is seen around you, and darkness is creeping into your heart, the fear. I'm not talking about darkness as evil. I'm talking about darkness as fear of uncertainty and insecurity. I'm talking about depression and stress and worry that grips you, that you cannot escape from it. God is declaring that I have life, and my life is like the light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So I want to declare to you today that God is saying, I have life that overcomes your darkness. The second antidote is found in verse 2 and 3. We read, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, will I come again, and will I take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also? Just the day before yesterday, we visited a grieving widow that lost her husband. I think it was me and Luzelle. Are you here, Luzelle? No, she's not here this weekend. And she was mentioning this scripture. She was mentioning the fact that she gave this word to this couple just a week or so earlier, if I'm not mistaken, that says that in my Father's house there are many rooms, and that I go to prepare a place for you, and that He today is there. But Jesus is speaking to the second antidote to the fear, the uncertainty, the insecurity, the worry, the trouble that rises up within us from time to time. And the second antidote is called hope. It's called hope. When Jesus speaks and He says, listen, I put before you eternity. The fact that this life is not the beginning and the end. It's simply the beginning. But in me, there is no end. There is a hope that even death in this life is not the end. Death is not the end for those who have faith in the Son. It's not the end. It's only the beginning of eternity. A place with God. It's so powerful that Jesus is saying, I'm not preparing for you a hotel. I'm preparing for you a room in my Father's house. So that you may be where I am. That I will call you to myself. You see, death is not the end. It's simply the beginning of eternity with God. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's a powerful antidote to the worry, the insecurity, the fear, the trouble that we face in this life when Jesus speaks and He puts before us the fact that one day we will be with Him eternally. It's not wishful thinking. Instead of wishing and hoping for something to happen, hope, biblical hope, is rooted in the Word of God. It's solid in His promises. In His character, in who God is, our hope is based on the Word of God, the promises of God, and the character of God. And we know that God cannot lie. So when we face this life, and the trouble, the tribulations, and even death, hope overcomes. Hope brings us peace. Now I want to declare it to you, even though you face these things, and even though you face death, know this, God says, I'm preparing a place for you. And I'm going to bring you to myself. And you're going to be with me forever. That brings us peace. That is something that is hard to understand in the eyes of the world, but how we can have peace in the midst of death. We have peace because we have hope, and hope is rooted in the Word of God, and God cannot lie. Hope is focusing on eternity, is having an eternal perspective on life and everything that happens around us. An eternal focus. Yeah, in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have to be grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a powerful portion of Scripture that speaks about this unfading hope that we have for eternity. And when we fix our eyes on that, what is eternal, strangely, the things in this life grows dim. When we start to focus on eternity, the things in this life, the worries, the concerns, the fears, the insecurities, all of a sudden starts to disappear in light of eternity. When we start to see what God promises for eternity, these things become less valuable. These things become less important. Their impact becomes less real. Hope views this life through eternity. It weighs everything in this life in light of eternity. And when we do, all of a sudden, the big issues in this life becomes insignificant. When life is about spending time in eternity and how we spend it in eternity, then the troubles and the challenges becomes less. Remember, we are simply passing through. We are simply passing through. You know what? When we face injustice towards ourselves in this life, it can consume us. When we are wronged, when we are slandered, when we are persecuted, it can consume us. It can keep us awake at night thinking how we're going to respond and how we're going to justify ourselves and how we're going to rectify the wrong that is done against us. But the moment we start to see and hear Jesus speak to us and we see eternity and that eternity is the goal and how I live my life, then all of a sudden when Jesus says, whenever you're persecuted, for my name's sake, blessed are you. And when they force you to do something, do double. And when they sue you for something, give double. Don't worry about this, because great is your reward in eternity. Then all of a sudden, justifying myself is not so important anymore. All of a sudden, it loses its power to keep me awake at night. Because I know my reward is not in this life, but in the life to come. It's not about what man thinks or what man says about me. It's what God says and what God thinks about me. And all of a sudden, the worry and the fear and the stress disappears when I start to see eternity. Remember, we are simply passing through. What are the things that keeps you awake at night? Can you take it with you or not? I always have to ask myself this, the things that keeps me awake at night, can I take it with me or not? And all of a sudden when I have to ask that question and I come to the answer, all of a sudden my perception of the importance and the value of it changes. We are simply passing through. And in the end, God promises something powerful. He says, it will all work out right. We know the scripture in Romans 8 verse 28 that says, for we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God, to those who have been called according to His purpose. You know what? Jesus promised us in this life, not that we will not suffer. Now, He never promised that if we follow Him, we will have a life without suffering. No, as a matter of fact, He said, you will be facing lots of persecution and suffering in this life. But He promised us two things. He said, in this life, in the midst of the suffering and the persecution that you will face, not just because you live in a fallen world, but because you follow Me, I promise you two things. Number one, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And secondly, I will make it turn for your good. And I've seen it in lives of so many, and I've seen it in my own lives, that even when we go through disappointment and destruction, there is something powerful about God's Word and His promise and His faithfulness that He turns the destruction into good. Maybe not in the time when you're going through it, you can see it or experience it, but it is so powerful when you look back in your life and you can see how God has turned that what the enemy has used to destroy you for good. I mean, isn't that the power of a testimony? When someone can stand up and say, I was a thief, I was a murderer, I was an adulterer, but then I got saved. And God changed my life. He saved me. And you know what's so powerful? The very thing that the devil tried to use to destroy you becomes a testimony that destroys him. I was a drug addict, trapped in heroin. Whatever the testimony may be, how powerful it is when somebody shares the very thing that the devil tried to use to destroy, that is turned around into a weapon forged against him. Doesn't matter what happens in your life, God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and I will turn it for your good. It's like watching a movie, and halfway in the movie, the hero gets captured. But we know it's a series, and this is only episode 2, and there's still 12 episodes to go. So even though he's captured, we are not afraid. We are stressed, we are worrying, but we are not worrying of his life, do we? Because we know it's episode 2. He cannot die yet. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances, he's going to get out of it. We're just worrying about how he's going to do it. I want to declare to you, your life is the same. In the end, it will turn out good. But then Romans 8 continues. In verse 31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How powerful is that? If you read the context of Romans chapter 8, it speaks about the suffering and the trials and the persecutions that we face. That brings us to the third antidote. We spoke about faith. We spoke about hope. There still remains one. Love. I mean, God's antidote to life, to the worry, the uncertainty, the fear, the worry that creeps out within ourselves is so powerful in its simplicity. It's faith, hope, and love. With these three. Continue in John 14 verse 4. Jesus speaks and he says, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered and said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Lord, in this uncertainty, insecurity, turmoil, fear and worry that rises up within me, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? You see, love is found in this place of intimacy with God. this place of knowing Him. It's in this place of knowing an intimacy with God that we find love. That we find His love. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. God, if we can see You in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our confusion and insecurity and fear and stress and worry and trouble that rises within us, God, if we can just see You, that is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show me the Father? Don't you know me? Don't you know me, Philip? If you know me, then you know the Father. Knowing God is fine in that place of intimacy, that place of knowing Him. And it's in that place of intimacy, that place of diligently seeking God and finding Him, that we find more than just love. We find peace. We find peace that surpasses all understanding. We find peace that surpasses the circumstances. Because in the midst of the storm, if you have Jesus in your boat, you should not be afraid. It's the knowing of God in this place of intimacy that we find love. And love casts out all fear. Love casts out all fear. Jesus said something powerful. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can go on in this chapter and then He speaks about the fact that I will not leave you as orphans. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, go into the world, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. And lo, behold, I'm with you always. It's in His presence where we experience His love that casts out all fear. In Exodus 3, verse 13 to 14, it's so powerful. God speaks to Moses. And God sends Moses back to His people. And Moses asks God, whom shall I say sent me? When they ask me this question, when I come to the Israelites and tell them God sent me, whom shall I say is your name? And God answered so powerfully. He said, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent you. I mean, how strange is that? When God says, I am who I am, tell them, I am sending you. This word I am is where we get the word Jehovah from. I am Jehovah. You know the names of God? Jehovah Jireh. My provider. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. You know what it literally means? And we can go through all those names. You know what is so powerful? God is saying, I am your provision. I am not. It's not that I am provision or my name is provision. I am your provision. I am your peace. I am your banner. I am your shepherd. I am the presence with you. I am everything that you need. I am. I am everything that you need. At different times, in different places, God revealed His names to him. And always it started with this, I am. When they needed peace, God said, I am your peace. When they needed the commander of the host to go before them, He said, I am your banner. I am the Lord of hosts. I am your provision. I am your deliverer. I am your shepherd. I am the presence that are with you. God is saying, I am everything that you need. No matter what you face, no matter what causes the fear, the uncertainty, the insecurity that rises up within our hearts from time to time, God is declaring to us, I am that which you need. Come to me. Come to me. And it is in that place of intimacy and finding the great I am that we find our peace in the midst of the tribulation, the trials, and the uncertainty, and the insecurity, the worry, the fear. It's in that place where we can say, I have found the great I am. I have met my provision. I have met my peace. I have met my shepherd. God is found in relationship, in knowing, in intimacy. And in our time of uncertainty, insecurity, and worry, just knowing the Father will be enough for us. Philip was right. Just show us the Father. And it will be enough for us. Jesus responds and saying, Philip, do you not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In His presence there are fullness of joy. And there is peace. And there is love that casts out all fear. But it's found in His presence. I want to encourage you to go and find Him. Don't run away from Him in the midst of your uncertainty, insecurity, and fear, and the trouble that rises up within your heart. Go and find Him. Go to your closet. Go to that secret place. Go to that tent, remember, that I spoke about, that Moses pitched outside the camp. Go and find Him. Because it's in Him that you will find whatever you need. Faith, hope, and love. He's the antidote when our hearts are troubled. Faith in God and in the Son. Hope in His Word, in His promises, in His character, in eternity. The eternal perspective. And love. That is found in an intimate relationship with Him. Love that is found in His presence. And in those three things, you will find whatever you need. Whatever you need. Amen. Let us pray.
I just want to say this. In that secret place of intimacy with God, a love relationship, if this one thing, John 14, verse 1, if you come to that place where you can say, I will not let my heart be troubled, no matter what. I have that assurance in my heart that God will never leave me nor forsake me because He loves me. And because He loves me, loves us. There is always hope. There is no fear. There is peace. So the very first thing that should come to each and every one of our minds is this: I will not let my heart be troubled, Lord, because I know that you are a God who is faithful. You will never leave us. You will always be there for us. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is always there for us.
Father, we just come to you and we want to worship you as the great I am. The all-sufficiency. Not just in yourself, but also for us. You are the creator of everything. You are the sustainer of everything. Nothing that was made without you. It was you that gave life to everything. And Lord, we can come to you as mortal beings and call on your name and know that you hear us. Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Now, as we are seated here, Lord, I just want to bring our own hearts before you, Lord, and the things that trouble us and the things that concern us, Lord, the insecurity, Lord, and the uncertainty, Lord, the worry, the fear, the trouble that rises up within our hearts, Lord, and we want to hear, we want to open our eyes, Lord, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, Lord, to hear, to see you as you speak to us this morning. You speak these words in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trouble, uncertainty, and insecurity. You are speaking these words and you're saying, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And Lord, I want to thank you that we can come to you this day, Lord. It's the way, the truth, and the life. And we can ask you to come into our storm, into our lives, into our hearts, our minds, Lord, and be the way. Be the truth. Be the life. Lord, I want to pray for those that are here today that do not know you. That do not know you as the truth. That do not know you as the way. That do not know you as the life. If you are here today and you do not know this God, you do not know the reality of His presence, of His love, of His comfort. You don't know the reality of His greatness and the security of knowing Him. If you are here today and you do not understand what we are talking about, but you have a desire to meet with God, I declare to you that He Himself said that my Son is the way. And no one comes to me except through Him. And if you have not accepted His Son, I want to give you an opportunity today to embrace the great I am through the way that He is made, through His Son. And if that is you and you want to respond, if you want to surrender your life to the great I am, I want to give you an opportunity this morning just to respond to God. While all the eyes are still closed, you can just respond to Him where you sit and you say, God, here I am. I want to know you. I want to give you my life. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand to God and say, God, here I am. I want to know you. Thank you for that hand. to anyone else. I want to give you an opportunity, thank you. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to an invitation of the great I am, that you may know me. That you may know me. And maybe you are here today and you know that you have lost the way. You have lost the way. Not in that you couldn't find it, but you took another. And the way that you are going is not the way to life, but is away from Him. And you know that God is calling you today. He's calling you back to Himself. If that is you, I just want you to respond to Him and say, God, here I am, Lord. I want to return to You. If that is you, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. Thank You for those hands. I want to come back to You. Just raise your hand, just before God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I know I have missed the way, Lord. I've taken a detour, Lord, but I want to return to You today. And then for some of us here today, I know that God has been pressing on your heart as I was sharing His Word, and that you can identify with the darkness that is in your life. The darkness that is in your heart, maybe in your emotions, maybe in your mind, and you are desperate for His light. You are desperate for His light. You are desperate for Him to shine into your light. I really believe that God wants to really minister to you this morning. That He really wants to bring His light into your darkness. And if that is you, you must just respond to God this morning and say, God, here I am, Lord. I need Your light in my darkness. The darkness is in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, Lord, and I need Your light. That is you. Just respond to Him. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I want to bring You my darkness. I want to bring You my fear, my concern. Lord, the thing that is consuming me within me. You know what I'm talking about. Thank You for those hands. You can drop it again. But if that is you, just respond to Him. And then there's another group that I would like to pray for this morning. And that is those that you know that you have, you're losing grip on the hope. You're losing grip on the hope. On the promises of God. You're losing hope. You're losing that grip on hope. God wants to restore that in you. God wants to restore the hope of eternity in your life. And if that is you, I want to also just ask you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I want You to take my hand. Lord, take my hand. So I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond, just where you are. Just God, here I am, Lord. I want You to restore my grip on who You are, on Your promises and Your character and Your Word. I do not want to lose my hope in You. If that is you, just quickly raise your hand.